Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part of My Take, we have Christian Horner. You're probably saying, who? Or you're saying, actually, that's awesome because you've watched the Netflix series Drive to Survive. He is the team principal of Team Red Bull.
They're like the best NASCAR team in the world, right?
Yeah, F1 racing, Monaco this weekend. Awesome interview. One of those interviews where he started and he was like, who the fuck are these guys? And by the end, I think we were best friends. So, very interesting. We're getting into new sports. We're going to talk a little NBA playoffs, LeBron seeing triple. NHL playoffs are back. I keep saying back, but they've been here.
Well, no, now they're officially back because the regular season is now
oh,
over.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Tim Tebow's fat ass and Fyre Fest of the Week. We're going to do it all. Before we do that, a quick word from our friends.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of Barstool Sports. Today is Friday, May 21st, and go team, you know?
I actually don't think that the name of this podcast is Pardon My Take anymore.
Oh, no.
It's not... Martian, my Jake.
It is your guys'
Jake
show.
Marsh podcast.
I joined 2 years ago. You guys started this in 2016. I'm just a role player.
No, it's
your podcast.
What we've seen.
I'm helping on the side.
Thank you for giving us permission to have it still be our
thank
podcast,
you, sir.
Alpha.
Thank you, sir.
It's a torch update with a podcast, and Jake is the alpha, and he just kind of cemented it. Well, I mean, we can go back and start with what happened today.
Yeah, so for people who didn't see Stool Streams, Hank has created Frankenstein. He is Dr. Frankenstein. Is that correct?
Yeah, and Frankenstein was the monster.
He's created a monster. So he created Stool Streams. It's fantastic. It's great. You see people in the office competing. You can win money on the Play Barstool app. No big deal. But unfortunately, it's gotten away from him because he keeps playing Jake Marsh in ping pong, and Jake Marsh is the most accidental alpha I have ever seen in my entire life. Today he did a Ty Lue. Allen Iverson step over of Hank
trying to help him up
like he was injured or something.
That's what makes Jake the true alpha is because none of this is intentional.
Yeah.
It's all natural to him. Like lions don't watch antelope run across the prairie and think to themselves, I have to prove that I'm a lion, so I'm going to go kill it and eat its butthole. They just do it because it's part of their nature.
Well, Jake, in this analogy, Jake is a lion. He eats the antelope, and then he says to the antelope, good chase.
Yeah, he's like, sorry.
Good chase, dude. I eat your heart out.
He's choking it out. He's like, I really hate to do this.
Yeah,
this
I didn't
just
mean...
Just a really good race that we had.
Yeah, I didn't mean to catch you like that and rip you to shreds.
You're really good. You're really fast.
Yeah, if I wasn't going to eat your heart out right now, I would expect you to totally be getting up from this and running away. This would be... spend too much time on it, but Hank, what is, are you okay?
Hank's down bad. Down real bad.
Are you okay?
I don't know. I'm down pretty bad.
The first one was bad, but it also, I think Hank in his head was like, this is great for stool streams.
Right.
That's just, Jake's an undercover psycho we never knew. And he was able to compartmentalize and move on. This one feels really bad because it's the second one. And again, the step over of another man's dead body.
Mm-hmm. And it's also the fact that it's a visual. It's not a video that you have to watch. It's just a picture.
A picture
is worse because you can Photoshop a picture.
Correct.
You can
This is the perfect picture. It doesn't need any Photoshop.
I saw He Who Shall Not Be Named made a pretty good Photoshop out of it.
Oh.
He added in pee.
Oh, no.
A little golden
what
shower.
What you're not seeing in that picture.
He's doing...
Yeah, he's peeing.
Billy's photoshopping.
I didn't see that.
Oh my god! From the fucking Billy stopped drinking for 1 second, woke up from his drunken like May, and was like, "Oh shit, I got to make this picture even worse for him."
What's crazy is that Jake has effortlessly accomplished everything that Billy had set out to do, which is become the new alpha of the show and take all of her jobs. Jake didn't even try to do it, and he's accomplished.
Are you? I'm scared you're not of you. I'm legitimately scared of Jake.
Well, here's what I'll say. The only thing is that I'm going to say is that in the first one, I think it was just a genuine outburst of emotion.
Yes.
Wasn't really at me. It was just to the world. I'm the best in the office. I'm the best one here.
Correct.
Just telling
fact check.
To, I'm,
true.
I'm
yes,
talking,
you're right, Jake.
And this one, I fell to the ground. I had played two matches. People aren't talking about that. I had to play two matches. Fell to the ground in
you
exhaustion.
Scheduled a match with PFD.
We're on the same room.
I'm telling you, we're not okay. We're not okay.
You don't need to scream.
We are not okay.
You don't need to scream. I fell to the ground. I was exhausted.
Yes.
Catching my breath. Jake came over, shook my hand, which was whatever. Walked away. Then was talking to the cameras, had this like little smile on his face as he's walking back, does the Jordan shrug, and then steps over me. So it's, you know.
No, actually, I'm going to throw a flag. He did the Allen Iverson step over, then the Jordan shrug.
Absolutely not.
Celebrate
Can
the
I
step
provide
over?
The truth to this story, please?
Okay, well, real quick, I do want to say, Hank, in Jake's defense, there was a blog that just went up on the website, and the headline is great. It's Jake wrote this. The headline of this blog is Sportsmanship, Not Disrespect. The real story of what happened after playing table tennis with Hank, in which he included all the necessary pictures and clips.
Again,
explaining
accidental alpha.
And featured it, mind you. Featured it.
So I have no access to feature.
Accidental alpha. Okay.
Let me explain
right,
my
yes.
side.
Go ahead.
What you don't see in the picture, because it's cut off, is me offering my arm out.
Yeah, I think that's worse. I think that's worse.
I was trying to help him
to
up.
To pick him up off the ground. I mean, he wasn't dead.
I was
or
just
injured.
Trying to be a
and
good
And you're not
sport.
Teammates.
People who know me know that I try
like,
to be
if,
positive.
If you don't
I
see people after the game finals, the Stanley Cup, like you don't see teams picking players. Like,
they have that's the biggest ritual in the hockey playoffs.
The handshake line. Yeah,
no, but like I'm saying, like Adam Morrison, like you didn't see UCLA players coming over to Adam Morrison, like picking him up off the ground.
They
because
when they shook hands
it
afterwards,
sucks.
They definitely did.
We shook hands, Jake. We did
had
that
already. Yeah, shaking
tried
hands.
To help you out, Hank.
All right, well, let's just. We have sports we got to talk about.
I do appreciate, though, that Jake included the scores of the 21-9 match and the 21-14 match in the recap. Yeah. I'd forgotten the score. Also, it was the most obvious thing in the world that Jake was going to make a beeline over to Hank to shake his hand.
Twice.
You know? No, I mean, out of
God
sportsmanship.
God forbid I show double sportsmanship.
Oh, double sportsmanship.
Who does
Wouldn't that cancel out your sportsmanship?
Yeah.
No, it doubles it down.
Oh,
double sportsmanship.
Okay,
I like
but,
it.
Jokes aside, people know who
no
I am.
No one's joking.
No. We have not joked once. We're yet to tell a joke on this episode.
So
people
I look.
Know me
I went,
as a good person.
I went to thehealthy.com and I looked up how to fix a broken relationship. 8 expert tips. Where it goes through, like, do you have a broken relationship? Signs of a broken relationship. You're not talking to one another. I was in this room with you guys for about 50 minutes, an hour. Very few words.
BFT texted me. He's like, this is pretty tense.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not coming in.
One of you has shut down. I feel like Hank's on his phone right now.
Uh-huh.
When we're trying to do a show.
Just researching.
Is your relationship...
How to kill a man and get away with it.
Is your relationship worth saving is the next question.
Oh,
I think that's what you guys need to decide.
Yeah, I don't know if it is.
I don't know. I mean, they haven't said anything.
And it looks like it isn't.
Yeah, no, I mean, we got to make it to the... Again...
You should fake a pregnancy.
The other thing is that we're not talking about how it's still the regular season. It doesn't mean anything until the...
There you go.
The tournament did not exist
good spin
until
zone,
I beat him
hey?
2 weeks ago
hey,
to spin
you,
that.
You haven't even lost.
It does say you likely won't make it if your partner is physically abusive. Mm. So, I don't know.
Jake is borderline.
And Jake does keep saying, like, I'll change. I swear it'll never happen again.
Right.
And then it just happens. It.
Triple sportsmanship me next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the triple sportsmanship, just like punch him.
Yeah.
I would never do that. That's not who I am.
No, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, sir. All right, let's talk about some sports. You guys are going to figure it out. We'll be fine. Jake, you're an alpha. Enjoy it. I mean, you're electric. You're an electric factory. Yeah. Am I sad that I've lost a friend in Hank forever? Yeah, a little bit. But I've also gained a father figure in Jake.
No, you guys are my mentors.
Thank you. Thank you.
Including Hank. You guys have done a lot for me. So let's not spin that.
I'm legitimately scared of you, so I don't know how to respond.
Jake, what would you like us to lead the show off with today? We have Tim Tebow talk, we have hockey, and we have basketball. Your choice.
It's your guys' show.
No, pick one. Pick one.
As your boss, I'm telling you, you have to pick one.
Yeah.
Brooks tied for the lead.
Great. Oh, good okay. call.
That was an option.
Yes, what that's alpha. The alpha.
God damn.
All right, so Brooks Koepka tied for the lead, looking great. He had a bad start, too. I think he double bogeyed the first.
Yeah, well, he had to play himself back into shape.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. People were talking about the angles and the chubby belly and the picture that came out on Wednesday. But it actually does say something about golf that you can play yourself into shape on one hole.
Yes. So Brooks is back. Him being in the contention this week would be awesome. But not only is Brooks playing well, I'm pretty sure Max is tied for 12th right now.
Okay.
And Will
he hold out an eagle?
Tied for 12th right now.
He hold out an eagle on a par five, I think.
All three of our guys are 12th or better.
It's incredible. I was asking Max this the other day. Is there a name for if you get a hole in one on a par five? Because I know it's an albatross. If you get a double
it's
eagle,
It's an un.
It's an
Kim Jong un.
I was thinking that we could name it. And I suggest
it should be a Kim.
A Super Max.
Yeah.
For Max, you should just like try to squat on that name for it. But I don't know if there's an actual golf term or not for it yet.
Yeah. So the, what is it? Kiowa
Islands.
It's going to be windy. That's all I keep hearing. That's all I keep telling people, like, hey, you see that wind? Talking about that wind. What are you laughing about?
No, just that comment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was funny.
I'm so on edge. All right, next topic. Jake.
Playing.
Okay, playing game. Okay. I hate LeBron.
I love him.
Let me finish. I turned around on him last night.
I
hate LeBron, but holy shit, is he so fun to like everything about him. The theatrics. The first half, he's so passive. And there was a moment where it actually happened in two possessions. He passed up a layup and took like a fadeaway 8-footer and bricked it. And everyone was like, ooh, LeBron, like, is he okay? And then in the next possession, he went down the court and won like fast break. And you're like, oh, LeBron woke up. And then he ended up hitting that three, which should have been a nine.
Well,
because
no,
he shot it on three rims?
No, he was seeing three rims. And that post-game press conference, that was laugh-out-loud funny. That's when I officially turned on LeBron, because he had that line ready to go. He had watched Rocky. I think it's a line from Rocky, like, you see three guys, or I'm seeing three guys, Mick, hit the one in the middle.
Hit the one in the middle.
It's a line from Rocky, and he had it ready to go. And actually, if we're actually like going into LeBron's brain and seeing through his eyes, shouldn't that make it easier to hit the shot if there are three hoops?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. What But it should have counted. I think it went in. Did it go in?
No, it went in one.
Yeah, no, I don't know, though.
No, he said he shot at the one in the middle. It went in the
one
in the middle.
Were they overlapping? So it could have been, I figured it's like the left-hand hoop is halfway in the right, in the middle hoop, and the right-hand hoop is halfway in the middle hoop as well. So it's like a Venn diagram.
Well, in that case, it would have bricked.
Did he brick two and hit one?
I think so.
Okay.
Either that or he didn't say if they were side by side.
Yeah.
Maybe they were on top of each other and it went through all three.
Yeah,
that
would have
been
saying
a nine-pointer.
Right. It could have been a nine-pointer because it could have also been
like the All-Star game where they bring out the big hoop.
Yeah, or it could have been like the rims were just slightly off a little bit. You know what I mean? So he was kind of seeing three.
I mean, seeing three is also a sign of being intoxicated, which
she might have been the night before
he was
with
out
Drake.
With Drake doing a little unvaccinated party.
I think, and I know that game was awesome. I stayed up for it. Not saying I'm a hero, but I did. I think LeBron drinking the night before with Drake proved my point that game didn't really matter. Because, like, there's no way if that was a real playoff game, elimination game, he's going to be out drinking with Drake tonight.
Well, what he's done is he's become the reverse Skip Bayless of himself because he builds in his excuses every time, too. So while Skip was saying if they don't win by at least 20, which they didn't, so technically the Warriors won, it would be a disappointment. LeBron saw that and he's like, well, I'm going to go out with the most famous person in the world, have my picture taken, be like, oh, dang, I didn't think that they were going to get me out at the club with my guy Drake.
They caught me sipping.
I was trying to have a low key night with Drizzy, and they got me. And then he's got his excuse just in case they do lose. But the poke in the eye from Draymond, I would have loved it if he had come out wearing an eye patch like a Mike Zimmer for that last shot. That would have been hilarious.
So Draymond needs a little credit because he was awesome defensively. I also Draymond's 3-point shot is like a bad joke at a party. Like whenever he takes, like the Warriors can be going, rolling, and then he'll take his 3-point shot that looks like he's got a piano on his back, and it will just be record scratch, like, he shouldn't have done that. But he has to keep taking because they leave him wide open, and he was great. Steph was obviously fantastic. Steph's so much fun. Steph, also, if you saw afterwards, I think LeBron said, I was seeing triple, and Steph was like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
CJ McCollum online, too.
Yeah. Aimed for the middle one.
Yeah. Aimed for that middle one. And then I think, unfortunately, the Lakers are going to repeat.
You think so? They're going to have trouble with the Suns, I think.
No. That sucks so bad for the Suns. They haven't made the playoffs in forever. I said that right after the game, and some people were like, dude, the Suns are really good. I agree the Suns are really good. But if you're the Suns, if you're a Suns fan, you can't tell me that you're pumped about the fact that you have your best team in 15 years and you happen to match up with the defending champions and LeBron James for your first-round matchup.
Definitely.
That's terrible.
Right. That's not ideal, but I do think that the Suns are good enough to – they can win. I'll borrow a phrase for myself – they could win this series. They need to get back in their team building exercises. I think go with what worked for you in the bubble. Just get some thought.
Get sucked off.
Get the team suck going.
Yeah, remember Jake's going to be number one. Or is he last?
No, I think
he's
one
go
now.
First.
You
got to
go
now.
First. Yeah.
The Lakers, the reason why I think they're going to – it's basically LeBron is going to – what you saw in the second half when he's – even though he's never going to be 100% again – he just decides, like, oh, yeah, I remember I'm LeBron, and I can go to the rim whenever I want, and I can dominate this game. And then Anthony Davis, there's an old, like, children's story, the elephant that's scared of the mouse. Is that something?
Horton Hears a Who?
Maybe. Anthony Davis, like, half of the games, he just forgets that he's a 7-footer and better than everyone. Like, in the first half, he forgot that he was 7 feet and better than everyone. And then the second half, he was
somebody.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm 7 feet and I'm the best guy here.
Well, sometimes the mark of a true alpha is knowing when to concede.
True.
And when Alex Caruso is on fire, you feed
true.
That beast.
Yeah, the Caruso. So as long as Anthony Davis remembers that he's 7 feet tall and awesome at basketball, and LeBron, you know, decides, like, hey, remember I'm LeBron? I don't know. It's weird to say a 7 seed, and the Lakers have looked bad at times, and when they look bad, they look really bad, but I don't know. Like, are you really going to bet against LeBron right now?
They also didn't play for, like, LeBron and Anthony Davis didn't play combined for, like, the whole regular
correct.
Season together.
Right. So
I don't think the seed matters.
No, it doesn't. That, right. It doesn't matter. It just matters, I mean, a game 7, but then you have to ask, like, how many fans?
Right.
Yeah. So,
well, I think by this weekend it'll be, like, fully open. or next weekend.
Arizona seems like a...
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Arizona, yeah, you can
pretty
do
sure the 29th,
you
like
want
all the fucking all the wheels,
world
the wheels come off at
hell
least in,
yes.
in Massachusetts.
Hell yes. All right, so we have the setup now. Oh yeah, the Grizzlies beat the Spurs. That was great.
Everybody watched that.
That was fucking awesome.
The only comment I'll ever have about the Grizzlies is that
they over it.
They're the same team.
Nope. But I'm a rider.
They're the same team year to year, and they're a team that's like kind of nasty. Kind of tough.
Yeah.
Grit and grind. Yeah,
grit
and grind. And my only other comment is that I miss the Vancouver Grizzlies uniforms. Bring those back.
Yes. They have worn those a couple times this year. And also, Pop, I know that it's cool to be like the funny, like older genius, but his look is, it's gone real far.
He embraced this quarantine. And the thing is, like,
his hair and Pop, his, like, just his whole everything.
Pop's also been around barbers. Like, teams have barbers that stay in quarantine with them to get their hair cut. So he doesn't really have an excuse. He's just, I think a lot of guys, once they hit their 60s, they're just like, I am not getting any hotter at this point.
But so we have first round this weekend. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be great. We talked about the Heat and the Bucks. I think that starts on Saturday. So that's like the bonus of all this is, you know, usually it's the first weekend of May when we have like the start of all these playoff series. So we have 8 games on Saturday and Sunday. I think Mavericks and Clippers are going to be great. Hank, do you give your Celtics a chance against the Nets?
No, I think we might get a game or two. I think it's going to be I've rewatched The Last Dance recently. Like, I know everyone talked about it during the pandemic ad nauseum, but unbelievable documentary. I think it's going to be like when Jordan faced the Celtics, like his first year or whatever in the playoffs. Where
Tatum's going to have a couple games.
Yeah, he's going to have a couple crazy games, but the better team will win.
So what changed between today and like 2 days ago? Because you were feeling pretty confident.
Was I?
Nah.
Oh, that was against the Sixers.
It's been the same.
You were saying that you could beat
the Sixers. We would beat the Sixers. I'll say that right now. If we were playing the Sixers, we'd beat them. But
Mark, no. All right, can we get this off the TV?
Yeah, the
TV. They're replaying stool streams.
I think we know
what
happened.
We were doing well.
This is you, though.
What are you talking about?
This is you written all over.
How is it me? I don't control this.
Can we just turn that TV off?
Nah, actually, leave it on. Actually, fine, just leave it on.
Exactly. Bubba, if you want to turn one of these cameras and put it on the TV... So we can have a live stream going for all the people that are watching.
Simulcast. It's just the graphic. So they're not going to show the game?
No.
All right, good. So Sunday, we're going to just say the Wizards beat the Pacers.
Sure. I don't know. The Pacers won by like 30 points in their
playing
we'll
say
game.
The Pacers beat the Wizards.
Yeah, that sounds better.
All right, so the Sixers and the Pacers. I'm very excited for the Suns-Lakers. That's 3:30 on Sunday, which, yeah, it's going to be great. A lot of sports all weekend. Anything else in NBA before we ask Jake where we can go to next?
I'm good on NBA. I want to go back because I was telling you that if there was a good play-in game, you would like the play-in format. And last night we had a good play-in game.
Yeah, it was, but I stand by the fact that I don't need to see a 33-39 team play an extra game to see if they get in the playoffs.
Right, but if all it gave us was the Lakers playing
that
the Warriors.
Yeah, they should have retired.
And LeBron James hitting the legendary eye shot.
Yes. I just think that do 8-9. I'm cool with 8-9.
LeBron James.
The 7-10 thing is stupid.
LeBron.
8-9 sudden death. One game.
Yes, exactly. 8-9 sudden death, one game.
In the bubble,
yes,
right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, this is a very atypical year because you have the defending champs being the 7 seed. How many times do 7 and 8 seeds win in the NBA playoffs? Very rarely.
Has LeBron put up an Instagram post about that shot yet?
To his former self?
Yeah, he definitely... He's like, I was seeing in the future, my eyes were so screwed up past LeBron. He thinks that was his Willis Reed moment.
Yes.
He might actually come out and lay an egg in this series because that one shot
he won
was
it all,
so
yeah.
emotionally draining.
Yes, that's true. All right, let me do a quick ad read.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Jake, next topic.
Let's go with the Mayor's Bet update. A great double overtime game yesterday. Yeah.
Okay, Hank, this is good for you.
This is great, actually.
This is good, Hank.
Hank, congratulations on a big overtime win. I'll be the bigger man and congratulate you immediately.
Not to be a downer, but there was a big stream at the office last night. I just didn't get invited to it.
Oh. Well, yeah, it was mostly for, like, big content names.
Right.
On the stream.
Jake, awesome, were you people there? Jake, were you there?
I was not.
Were you invited, though?
I was not.
But yeah, it was a good game. I watched it at home by myself, and I was happy the Bruins won.
I just hope that at this point the Bruins and Caps go seven games, and every game goes.
I can't do
also,
it.
Also, Obi's falling apart in the scenes.
Did you see? So after it was over, nope. Samsonov had a great game for the most part, except for the very end. Ovi screamed at him after that last goal. I looked up what the translation was. According to the lip readers online, of which there are many, he told Samsonov, "Don't sleep tonight, bitch."
Oh,
so I don't know if Ovi's going to kill him. He might be dead.
Yeah.
One of Putin's guys might have come into the room last
night. That's a tough one to say to a teammate. Don't sleep, bitch.
Am I crazy? I always remember the pronunciation being Samsonov.
That's a different, yeah.
Oh, okay, it is a different person.
Different
completely.
Person.
Because every time they say
Samsonov,
it, I'm like, was there a mandate where all of a sudden the announcers have to really like enunciate the "suh"? Samsonov?
It's a different guy, but right. yeah, I can see how that would be confusing to a casual. I actually do think that the best way to turn the series around right now, because like two overtime losses in a row, it's not the same as just two regular, you know, three-period losses where you lose by a goal.
Right.
It's emotionally draining. You have to come out, and I think Tom Wilson has to get into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has to try to fight Marchand.
Well, this... let me ask you this. Must win or can't lose?
It's a can't lose.
Yeah.
I thought about that. I thought about it. And what's really starting to make me upset is I have to start mentally preparing myself for this might be Ovi's last season.
Ooh.
Because he's a free agent.
And you have to eat Olive Garden until you puke.
Yeah. I did say I would stop using That's Cap if the Caps came back and won.
Oh.
So that's on the line.
So
that's
I'm a Caps fan
officially
now.
On the line. I figure that's a good way to get people around me. I will stop using That's Cap. I will... effective game 7 or game 6, whenever we win this thing, I will stop using That's Cap for the rest of my life. I will never say those words again.
Okay.
That's my solemn promise to you.
Other series, Avalanche are awesome. I love their uniforms, too. I think they were wearing, like, throwback uniforms last night. They look sick. And speaking of uniforms, the Oilers, they wore the worst uniforms that they have, and you can't do that in the playoffs. You can't bring out your worst sweater.
Which ones were they wearing in the
barn?
They
were wearing the black ones with, like, the orange silhouette.
Yeah, I don't
you
like it.
You can't do that.
Especially when you have one of the best regular uniforms ever.
Right.
Blues and orange.
Blue and orange
is a great color combination.
It's the playoffs.
Except for the Mets.
We're going to have Biz on Sunday night, so we will do some in-depth hockey talk, we promise.
So did you hear what Patrick Sharp said on the broadcast?
I'm hot, I have three rings.
He's like, I've got great hair. I've got a lot of championships. Big Cat's taking a picture of me right now at home, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And
fact.
He mentioned the fact that you can just jam the goal with a bunch of players. And I asked Ryan Whitney and Biz Nasty about that. These are two scholars, and they both said that they are not aware of a rule that would prevent an entire team from playing the stack and just laying on each other's backs and blocking the goal.
So there it is. Figure it out, people. Do that. Park the bus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next topic. Jake.
No hitters are happening every day.
Oh,
too many.
My God.
Should
I'm
we
so
play a game
sick of them.
You know who's going to throw tonight's no hitter?
It's just like... I
think there'll be two tonight.
Yeah, probably.
There are a lot of day games. So
the fact that the Yankees haven't
only
had
five night games.
It actually bums me out because Cubs had for a long time, it was like one of the only records the Cubs had. Well, that and having the longest drought, like World Series drought. But they had the longest time period of not being no hit. Cole Hamels no hit him. I think it was like 2014, 15 maybe. And it would have been an awesome record to have right now. Because it was like 25, 30 years or something. In today's game, it would be like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. That would be the cool the new no-hitter to be like, we haven't been no-hit.
Right. I actually think that throwing no-hitters have gotten, it's like chuggy now.
Yeah.
It's like kind of overdone.
Yeah.
It's lame.
Oh, Hank's shaking his head.
You don't think it's chuggy, Hank?
No. Just everything you say. But
what? Well, everything I say is chuggy? Yeah, I work for Barstool
Sports.
It's
like Draymond Green shooting a three. You know, it doesn't look natural. Yeah.
It's chuggy. It's chuggy AF. It's honestly, it's cringe.
Want to hit this, cousin?
Oh, it's big yikes.
Big yikes. Big oof.
I don't know about that one, Chief, when guys are throwing no-hitters out there.
I don't know. What is it? What was the old one that you made me say like 2 years ago? I don't know about that.
That one, Chief.
Yeah.
That one, Chief. Okay. Yeah.
All right, but seriously, like no-hitters are lame now.
No-hitters
are not cool. And
guys strike out too much. Guys don't fucking hit for contact. They're trying to hit home runs.
I actually think it's...
ban the shift.
It's gotten selfish to the point where like your defense isn't getting the reps in, so fielding percentages are down.
Yeah.
The seams are bigger. They added an extra seam on the baseball this year.
Yeah, all right, here's...
anyone can throw.
Here's what they should do is they should not count no-hitters where if you get any outs with the shift.
Yeah.
That shouldn't like... That's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's on... ban the shift.
I wonder if Tony La Russa would ever get mad at a pitcher in any circumstance
throwing
a no-hitter.
Tony La Russa getting mad at
what's his perfect
his own players and then defending the other team for throwing at him. He's just goofed up. He's all goofed up. What are you going to say, Liam?
I saw it's on pace to be the lowest batting average of all time this year.
It's the shift. So it's the fact. The it's launch too. Angles. It's balls. It's everything. There needs to be no hitters. I got I got thrown off there because Hank did the and I was wondering.
No one's gonna hear that. So you just
they're gonna not hear this.
They won't hear that. No. Well, the one you just did.
Yeah, me doing it.
Yeah.
What about that?
So they hear this. All right. Next topic, Jake.
All right. I got one more notable one. We got our. First...
I like this actually. He's like our little reality.
He keeps it moving.
We got our first look at Tim Ochocinco Tebow.
Oh,
I like that name.
He's looking chunk. Also, so
big boy, fullback.
Well, most people saw that and was like, hey, that's a fat ass. Tim Tebow's kind of fat. I saw it and I was like, how dare you, Tim Tebow, taking Blake Bortles number?
85?
No, I thought he took 5.
No, Ochocinco. Oh,
no, he took 85?
No, he was just so big.
I didn't see the 8.
You could only see the 5 on his back. The 8 was on his side.
Fuck.
What I took from it is...
I was wrong. Big wrong.
I think Tim Tebow is kind of a Trojan horse deal. I think he might end up playing quarterback. Because if you saw the handshake that he put on the other guy, that is a quarterback's handshake. He put his hand out to introduce himself as they're walking away. They shook hands. He jerked the guy's hand a little bit. Alfred him. Jake knows about that, the old Trump one, where you put him off balance just for a second. And then as the guy got a little off balance, Timmy patted him on the back and gave him, like, reassurance. It was like, the entire encapsulation of how to become a natural alpha in about 0.5 seconds. Flawlessly executed.
I know about that.
Tim Tebow.
I've seen it.
Tim Tebow, I think, is going to... If I were Trevor Lawrence, I would sleep very, very cautiously.
At night. You know Urban loves him. He loves himself some Tebow. We have one last topic. Let's talk before we get to Christian Horner. So if you have not watched Drive to Survive on Netflix, I just binged it. I think, PFT, you just started it as well. I
saw 2 eps.
It's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to dip our toe into a little F1 content. Not go crazy, but we're going to do it a little.
It's foreshadowing, but I think I agree with the end of the interview. We have to go and, you know, be there in person and really feel it, and then we can talk about it going forward.
Yes. It took because...
Otherwise, we'll just come across as fraud.
Yeah, that's true. We got to get there. And you got to go to the Mecca, which is Monaco, right?
Yeah.
There have been a couple times this week when we've been talking about this interview and the scheduling of it, and I've just tossed out there, like, we should probably go to Monaco.
Monaco, yeah.
And
next year, Monaco.
If anybody had said, like, even kind of as a joke, yes, let's go, it no longer would have been a joke to me, and I would have been like, yeah, we're doing it. Let's buy a plane ticket.
Yeah.
I would like to go to
Monaco.
We
need a yacht.
Yeah.
Next year, in 2022, they're doing a track right outside Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. You guys can come stay at my place.
Sure thing,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, and absolutely. If you need us to, like, do any gardening for you.
Yeah, can we use the toilet?
My mom will cook for you.
We'll do any chores you
anything
want.
You need us to do.
Uh-huh.
We'll be a good host.
But it's awesome, because if you haven't watched it, so F1, I was skeptical. I had heard, like, people talking about it, and then we got this interview booked a couple weeks ago. And I was like, let me just start watching this. And it was one of those things that you watch and you can't stop watching, because, yes, it's about racing, but it's also the drama is crazy. And, like, the tracks are cool. The scenes are cool. They've done Netflix, or whoever created Drive to Survive, did the perfect hack of, if we show enough aerial shots of cool sceneries, like, people are going to like this show no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw in everyone hating each other, like the infighting, the little petty wars. It's this league on steroids.
For me, it's mostly about the optics of success that just emanate from Formula One racing.
Yes.
So, like, if we talk about Formula One, I think that people will just be like, those guys are sophisticated as hell.
Right.
If you just say, like, I'm a big Formula One fan, I love Team Ferrari, people will be like, that guy is rich and
Michael
successful.
Schumacher.
He probably owns several Ferraris.
Yep. Michael Schumacher. He's the GOAT.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. So, well, Lewis Hamilton might
I think Schumacher.
See, yeah, I am
this
a
conversation
guy.
Right now.
Yeah, this is incredible.
Everybody's like, fuck,
holy
those guys
shit.
Are wealthy.
And they were talking about Monaco? Where even is that? This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we exude class. So yeah, I'm going to try to watch F1 this weekend.
I actually think that is probably the only race in the world that I would get kicked out of.
Monaco.
Just why? Well, not for anything that I did. I probably wouldn't be admitted.
But you can't even
any other motorsport in the world.
I don't
want to
say that you're now making us look poor, but you are, because you don't even have to get admitted to Monaco. You can just watch the race on your yacht.
Well, I don't think I'd be admitted in the vicinity.
No, dude, we'd have our yacht.
I've actually been
to Monaco.
It's lovely.
I know, we wouldn't need to buy... You don't buy tickets. You watch it from a fucking rooftop or your yacht.
I just don't think... I think I don't have the Monaco look.
We'll get it. We'll find it.
In the other motorsport, it's like, that guy should probably be competing.
What's breaking news? Fredo is trending.
Oh, no.
People are using a slur again.
Is it about Maradona's doctors?
Oh, no, it's just Chris Cromo.
Oh.
Okay. I was like, uh-oh.
Did you hear that about Maradona's doctors?
What?
They killed him.
Why?
I don't know. They're trying to figure it out.
Fuck.
The case is like going to court. They're being charged with homicide. They killed the goat.
Shit.
Messi probably had something to do with it.
No.
Messi wants GOAT status.
No. Messi loves Maradona. It's probably Ronaldo. All right. So I cannot recommend it enough. Drive to Survive on Netflix. It's awesome. Like, I was skeptical because I'm not a big, like, racing guy, car racing guy. But it's way more than that. It's everything. So just pop it in. There's 3 seasons right now. And Monaco on this weekend. And we're going to talk to Christian Horner right now. Before we get to Christian Horner...
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, here he is, Christian Horner. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is team principal of Red Bull Racing Formula One, Christian Horner. They're actually teaming up with Cash App as well, which is a sponsor of ours, working with you guys. You guys are at Monaco on right now, and you have the race coming up on Sunday. We're excited to have you on. I want to just tell you beforehand that I'm a diehard F1 fan as of a week and a half ago. I binged all 3 seasons. So
fantastic.
So I guess my first question is, what made you go with the spray tan for season 3 after season 1 and 2?
Well, that was, you know, being locked up at home for a couple of months. So you get out in the garden a bit, and the first time I've been in one place for, you know, for that period of time. So so there were benefits to this pandemic.
Okay. All right. I just had to ask that. All right. But seriously, so for people, our audience probably isn't the biggest F1 fans. If you want to go watch Drive to Survive, it's awesome on Netflix. There's 3 seasons out. Can you explain to us what Monaco means to the F1 world and what they should expect to watch when they're watching this weekend?
Well, Monaco's a big one. You know, all the races have the same points, but this is the big one. Every driver, every team wants this on their CV. You know, it's over 70 years old, this race. The track's largely unchanged. It's an insane circuit. There's no overtaking here, so qualifying is everything. But you're racing through a tunnel. You're running around the harbour. You're going through where the market would be, past the casino. So it's an iconic race. And when people think Formula One, 90% of them will also think Monaco.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a diehard Formula One fan in the last 2 days. So I've seen
Excellent.
A couple of the episodes. I followed along a little bit. I know that you have, in your last couple races, finished in second place. I saw that you were saying that you expected a good result this weekend. In American media, what we like to do is we like to make people guarantee victories, and then that gives us a lot of headlines and generates buzz for us. So would you like to guarantee a victory this weekend at Monaco?
No, I'm not going to get, you know, we're very British, so we're very reserved. We don't, you know, we don't talk about guaranteeing anything. So, we'll totally understate it. We'll put all the pressure on Lewis Hamilton and try and beat him on Sunday afternoon. But look, it's really tight between the guys at the front, between Lewis and Max. There's nothing been much between them the first four races. This race, the driver makes a difference. And it's going to be about getting the qualifying right, because then you can weave like hell and keep the guy behind for 70 laps.
All right, so I'm actually very curious about this. The driver versus the car. Like, Lewis Hamilton is the GOAT. Whenever we're discussing sports in America, we like to do the GOAT. Max Verstappen is going to be world champion. That's what everyone says. Yeah. I believe it as well. How much of it is the driver and how much of it is the car? Like, if you put Max or Lewis in a bottom-tier car, would they be on the podium, or is it impossible?
No, they wouldn't be on the podium. It's impossible. But, I mean, the car is a big influence. It's probably about a third, a third, a third, if you split it up between car, or chassis, engine, and driver. So, you know, that's probably about the split.
Okay. That actually helps a lot, because I'm watching these, these episodes, and I'm wondering, like, obviously the financial part of the sport is interesting, because if you spend more money, you have more resources, you have a bigger team. But the fine details on the car, are those things that you're thinking of in the off season, and you're just hoping it works when you get into testing and you get into the season?
No, look, I mean, we don't make things up as we go along. We do a huge amount of simulation. We do a massive amount in the virtual world. We pretty much live in the Matrix. So when we turn up at a track, the driver's tested the updates, he's tested the car, the engine, everything. And the reality versus the virtual world is getting so close now in that simulation that's how we develop these cars.
Yeah.
Can you remember when you were growing up? I know you grew up in a motorsports family. Do you remember when you fell in love with going fast?
A long time ago. You know, we had the house I lived at in the countryside, there was a hill outside, at the back of the garden. And there was a road, and it was about, we used to make like a soapbox to go down the hill there. And of course, it had no brakes or anything like that. And it was all about who could go the quickest. I was probably about 8, 9. That's where I fell in love with speed. Evel Knievel was a big factor in my life as well.
Ooh,
Evel
okay.
Knievel and the full guy. I mean, he was... He was a big influence on my younger career.
So the influence was, like, you love to go fast, and then you also weren't afraid of crashing from time to time.
No, absolutely. You want to jump things. You want a hot girl next to you in the pickup truck. But Dukes of Hazzard, they were a big influence on me as well. 18.
All
those classics.
Yeah.
The sport is so fascinating to me. And like I said, I've been a diehard fan for a week and a half now. When we're talking about American sports and you talk about teams and teammates, you obviously are expecting teammates to work together. This sport's obviously a little different, that the teammates are competing against each other. Is there, how do you, as basically the head coach of this whole system, how do you get them to work together, but also know that at the end of the day, they're really racing each other?
Well, I think there's a big difference between American sport and European sport, because in America, you say your teammates, they genuinely like each other. They give each other the ball. They'll play with each other. They work for each other. Call a teammate in Europe, they fucking hate each other. Because it's the one guy that's going to kill his career.
Right.
So they play team, but the reality is they both want to beat each other. And so my job is to try and keep them both pointing in the right direction and score as many points for the team as they can.
And is there ever a time where you will say, like, either mid-race or before the race, hey, look, you have to take one for the team here. You have to help, Max get to the podium. You have to we're not expecting you to win this race. We want you to help him win this race. Is there any element of that?
There will be, because, at some point you've got to pick your best chance of success. So, you know, Max is probably the most likely guy to obviously win their championship for us. And we've got a great driver in Sergio Perez. And obviously, at some stage, his role will be to say, right, okay, we've got to help Max win this.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we're nowhere near that stage. We're only four races in and focused on giving both drivers the best chance that we can. It's usually the last sort of 25% of the championship that will happen.
Mm-hmm. How have things changed in the sport given the popularity of the Netflix series? Because I imagine that it's been exposed to, you know, a massive audience that might not have ever heard of you guys before. Have you noticed like different fans out at the race, more fans in general?
We've noticed a massive change since Netflix came along. I mean, I'm very popular with the older generation now, so all the older viewers that seem to have been attracted to myself. But it's fantastic that, you know, we're reaching this whole new audience and that, you know, Netflix is putting Formula One in front of people that wouldn't have naturally watched Formula One. And then they want to find out what's going on, what happened. You know, this is a soap opera. And so they have to tune in and watch the sport. And then, you know, they get more and more engaged. So for us, it's fantastic. We have a growing audience in the US that's going crazy. We're bringing in a lot of U.S. sponsors like Cash App, like Oracle, and ExxonMobil, you know, AT&T, some great brands. And, you know, that's all because of the popularity that's growing, and Netflix is a big part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a test case for that. I had no idea what F1 was, and then I watched it.
You'd have never heard of me before.
No.
Exactly.
I didn't, and I actually want to throw this out there because I think the greatest humble brag, I don't know if you intended this to happened in season one of Drive to Survive when you were at home with your family and your wife standing next to you, and they just didn't mention the fact that I was like, wait, is that Ginger Spice? And then I realized it was, so... you know, we're 36-year-old guys who grew up on the Spice Girls, so that was kind of a cool twist that we didn't expect.
Yeah. Who was your favorite?
Ginger Spice. Wait, yeah, respectfully.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah,
respectfully
is what I meant
respectfully,
to say.
Respectfully.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
We're very British about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You've done well for yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I like to think she's punching above her weight, but it's probably me that is.
Yeah. If you guys have to go out to dinner, if you have to make like a last-minute reservation, whose name are you dropping? Are you going to say
depends,
you or hers?
Depends where we go. Yeah. But usually her name works a bit more than mine does.
Imagine that opens some doors for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
How does it work if you're growing up over in Europe and you want to and you're into Formula One? How do you decide which team to support? That's always been like fascinating to me when it comes to more individual sports. It's like, how do people get attached to a driver or a team?
Usually it's through a driver, isn't it? It's either through nationality. Like when I was growing up, Nigel Mansell was a big, you know, big name for me. British guy, drove with his, you know, a lot of heart. And he was up against somebody like Ayrton Senna, you know, who had a massive following in Brazil and South America. So 90% of the time it's the driver. And that's what the US need. We've got to get a decent American driver. Running in Formula One. And as soon as that happens, I think the US, you know, will just take off even more. We've got a new race coming in Miami next year, which is going to be super cool. So, you know, our presence in the US is growing and growing. We just need a US star. We've got a youngster that's only, I think he's 14, 15, Jack Crawford, American kid. And he's going to be a big name. He's going to be a good one.
I love it.
That's a good name, too, yeah. Has it ever worked the other way? Because I know that you've heard of you know, some F1 drivers coming over, trying their hand at NASCAR. Has there ever been a major NASCAR driver that's crossed over and tried to compete in F1?
I think NASCAR drivers, you know, they come and had a go, but they haven't actually raced. And likewise, the other way around, I think Montoya was the guy that went the other way. And he did a pretty decent job from what I could see in NASCAR. But it's like they're two different worlds. It's like, you know, we have rugby, you've got American football, you know, and, you know, we've got soccer or football and you've got soccer. It's, you know, there's cars and tracks, but Formula One is a different challenge to anything in the US compared, you know, for example, like the Indy 500.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dumb question. When a crash happens, obviously the first thing you're thinking about is the safety of the driver and making sure everyone's okay. After everyone's okay, are you like, oh, shit, that's a lot of money. Like, that's a lot of money that we just lost on that car.
Exactly. Especially this year with the cost, we've got a financial cap. So we're restricted to $145 million. and it sounds like a lot
on the car,
but yeah, on the car, right? Okay. So we can't go over that. You know, last year we'd have been spending about 195. So we've had to reduce our costs significantly for this rule this year. So somebody crashes the car, that's expensive. And so, yeah, as soon as the guy's all right, you're thinking, how much did that cost?
Yeah, right, that little fender bender. So speaking of the restrictions, the financial restrictions, do you think that's good for the sport, that there's going to be more parity and overall the health of the sport will be better knowing that you can't just spend the most money and win the championship?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's ultimately a positive thing. You just want to make sure that people are all playing by the same rules. It's like, you know, they're all different entities. So, I mean, Ferrari make road cars and race cars. So if Luigi's designing a front wing, is it for a Formula One car or a F60? So you just want to make sure. And I think they've got a good, quite a good process in place. And, you know, everybody's setup is different. So it's a new challenge this year. I think ultimately it's a good one. It's going to take a couple of years to settle down, but I think it's healthy for the whole sport.
I like that about you, by the way, that you are not afraid to be like, hey, that's illegal. Like, I'm going to protest that. Has anyone ever come up to you and been like, you're a snitch? Like, why are you doing that? I think it's great. I think it's awesome to watch because you're basically like a coach. We're going to use every advantage we have. Expend every resource to try to win this race. And if that's like, absolutely, hey, this guy missed the yellow flag, we're going to say it. But has there ever been any backlash?
You know, people always have opinions, but my job is to push the limits. If I don't do that, then I'm not doing my job properly. If I say, yeah, it's okay, you guys take the yellow flag, we'll give you that win.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so underneath that British exterior is a competitive American interior.
There's a shark.
Oh, I like that.
I like that a lot too. Yeah. What's the most expensive part on your car right now?
The fleshy bit in the middle with two arms, two legs.
I was like, wait, what? What is that? I'm not a big car guy. What are you talking about?
Does it make a difference? And we've definitely entered like the stupid question portion of this interview right now.
Well, because the beginning was just really great journalism by us.
Does it matter if your driver loses 10 pounds the week before a race?
Yeah, it does actually, because, you know, we want the drivers to be like jockeys. They've got to be a consistent weight over the weekend because we ballast the car, because it's a combined weight between the driver and the car. So if the driver loses, you know, 10 kilos, then we're in trouble because, you know, if he hasn't told us. So we're constantly weighing these guys. They get weighed after breakfast. They get weighed before they get in the car. They get weighed after they get out of the car because, you know, they spend more time on the scales than anybody else I know because we have to have them at a consistent, you know, weight.
Yeah. Right, so how does that work over the course of a race? Because I would imagine if you're competing in Austin, Texas or Miami, it's going to be hot out. It's a long race. Probably lose a lot of water weight over the course of it. Does the car then handle differently because of that?
It won't handle differently, but we have to take that into account with the weight that we start with. So the driver, you know, somewhere like Singapore will lose 2 kilos, you know, through just sweating. So you have to compensate that with the weight that you put in the car for the, you know, for the end of the race.
So since we're an American sports podcast, this probably won't get picked up, but, you know, internationally, but who do you hate the most on the circuit?
Who do I hate the most in Formula One?
Yeah. With this, you can just say whatever. Cause like no one will ever write up a story.
Nobody will ever hear this, will they?
We're very small. No.
Look, I love everybody.
Yeah,
I love everybody. I don't have any enemies in Formula One.
Do you though? You know the guys on the other teams. Do you have any relationship off camera, or you know maybe go out to dinner at the end of the season, or is it true like, hey, this is a rivalry. I want to beat you, and I'm not gonna be friendly with you no matter what.
We're not playing chess with each other. I mean, it's a rivalry, and. I am a great believer that, you know, you can't fake things. You know, it's real. So, yeah, I won't be spending Christmas with Toto Wolff. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What about Toto? Because I know that you've had a little back and forth with him recently. You hired away a bunch of his top guys, right? and he's upset that you're spending money. Do you feel bad for paying his people more than he was going to pay them?
Not at all. Not at all. He's a cheap guy. You know, he should have paid them more in the first place. They'd have never left.
That's a fair point. What's the size difference between like a Red Bull Racing team and one of the lower teams, like in terms of just general staff?
I think what we're on the bigger end, obviously. I mean, we're one of the bigger teams. I mean, he's compared to a Mercedes, they're bigger. They're probably the biggest team, probably followed by ourselves. Mercedes over 1,000 people just on the chassis. We're probably about 800, 850. Wow. I think Ferrari are quite similar.
Wow. Hmm. That's a lot of people.
And when was the last time you got the itch to just say, fuck it, I'm going to drive?
Probably about 25 years ago.
Yeah?
I started my life as a driver. That's how I started. And I quickly recognized that my talent was not behind the wheel. But it was a great education for me. I love driving the cars. I drove here in Monaco. I drove in the category just below Formula One. And it was a great education.
Yeah. This is a really stupid question, but I respect the fact that you pull off being a pinky ring guy. Has that been your whole life? You've been a pinky ring guy?
Well, what is the definition of a pinky ring guy to you guys? I mean, obviously.
I think it's just wearing it with confidence, because I've always wanted to rock a pinky ring, and I've dabbled, I've put it on, and I just don't feel confident, where I see you and I'm like, that guy, he's confident in his pinky ring.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you should give it a go. I mean, if you came over here and you didn't have one, we'd think you were slightly odd.
Wait, how long have you been rocking it? Your whole life?
Yeah, so I think 18, since I was 18.
That's an
so
early cool. start, because now it's like part of who you are.
Yeah,
it's part of
you. You know what?
DNA.
Nobody's ever asked me that question in my life before, so that's a new one. I like that.
We pride ourselves on doing that on this podcast whenever we have a guest on. I would assume
absolutely.
We're a little different than the F1 media. Yeah. So wait, speaking of age, you know, for people who don't know your backstory, you took over Red Bull at a pretty young age. You 4 world titles. Was that... Looking back on it, were you like, man, this is not easy, but like, this is awesome. I keep winning world titles, and now the last few years have been a little more difficult with Mercedes.
Look, I mean, I came in, I was 31 when I took on the job. We worked really hard to get into a championship position. We then won the championships for 4 years in a row. I think I was the youngest guy to win a Formula One championship as a team principal. And then then Mercedes came along with their juggernaut, and they've raised the bar. You know, they've done an amazing job the last 7 years, and we've been fighting to get ourselves back into a competitive position. You know, we're getting there. You know, this year we're getting pretty close to them, and that's great. That's great for the whole team. It's great for Honda. It's great for our partners. It's great for the sport to suddenly have two guys at the top of their game going head to head.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any superstitions on race day? Any patterns that you do all the time?
Yeah. I got loads. I had them from when I was driving. So nobody listens to this podcast today. No one.
It's just us.
I'm not going to get help.
We're not even recording.
Right, okay. I've got two I can probably share with you. I have a lucky pair of underwear.
Okay.
You know, that's won several races and championships. I have this really bad one of I have like a lucky toilet at each track we go to, and I have to make sure that I go for a pee in that lucky toilet before the race.
Oh,
now if there's like in Brazil, most places it's okay because we've got our own motorhome and it's fine. But somewhere like Brazil, 25 toilets, 24 of them are empty, and the lucky one is full. You look kind of weird hanging around the toilets waiting to go to your lucky toilet.
No, so. I get that. So they bring the same toilets. It's like Kim Jong-un. They have his toilet train that they drive all around North Korea.
Take the toilet everywhere. I mean, we go to different rates. You know, when we come to Austin, I'll pick one toilet and that's my lucky toilet for the weekend.
Does your team know?
So it changes from race to race. I don't take the same one with me to every Grand Prix.
But does your team know, like, hey, where's Christian? Where's the boss? Like, oh, he must be held up waiting for his lucky toilet.
I don't know about that. You know, you guys are the only ones that know about this superstition. So, you know, they wouldn't have a clue.
Okay. I'm very curious about the toilet. How do you decide which one is going to be the one that week? Does it just speak to you?
Guys, sorry, this has got to be the last question.
Okay, cool. Yeah, this is a good one to wrap up. That's miserable.
I was enjoying this. well, look, I might try a few during the different practice sessions, and the one that we're the quickest in, I will then adopt for the rest of the weekend.
Ah, perfect.
The fastest toilet.
That is unbelievable. All right, well,
exactly.
Christian, I know you're a very busy man. We appreciate it. Hopefully this wasn't too painful for you.
Look, I enjoyed it. You guys should come to a race. You should come and find about the world of Formula One.
I would love to go to Monaco this weekend.
Is there a too fat for driving the car and too tall? Because I think I don't even think I would fit in the car.
No, I think, unfortunately... You fit both of those categories.
The XL car. If you got an XL car, I'll come to a race, all right?
Okay, no problem.
All right, thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.
All right, all the best.
Christian Horner is brought to you guys by our great friend.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Now we got Firefest of the Week coming up. Firefest of the Week is brought to you by... Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, Firefest of the Week. Let's end the week strong, boys. Again, we got Biz Nasty on the show on Monday. Get excited for that. Hank.
I mean, we talked about it.
Do you have anything to be upset about?
Hank, you also won a match today.
Wait.
It's just so much worse. Every time he tries to help him.
He can't help it.
It gets so much worse.
And he just alphaed me, too.
Yeah, he did. Because Hank beat you.
It's okay. I swept Hank last time. I wanted Hank to have some confidence going into his match against Jake.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I'm just down really bad. Not getting invited to live streams. The live streams that I put on, just getting dominated in. This kid, Brendan McGrath, though, he just DM'd me that he was 1 point away, again, from winning $500 today. So I'll dedicate my Firefest to him.
That's tough.
Still had a winner, which is great for the
If you had
show.
Played just like right. a little bit better, he would have got that money.
I know. More point.
That's tough. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. My Firefest of the Week.
I'm sorry, Hank.
Should we just have all of our Firefest? Should we just donate them all to Hank for this week?
I'm sorry, Hank.
Because I think what I'm about to say just like pales in comparison to what Hank is going through right now.
Yeah.
It's like showing up to a funeral with a stubbed toe and being like, oh, my pinky toe hurts.
I didn't do anything, but I'm just sorry
for your losses.
Well, you put the broadcast.
I did not. I did not. Come on, please. I wish I
had. You guys tweeted it. Couldn't have been. I mean, I don't think the broadcast. I don't even think the moment was over before PFT tweeted it.
I was sitting in the booth, just going, "Please, someone get that for my personal use right now."
His disgusting ass computer tweeted a video, like a screen recording, like an ancient.
Sorry, is your computer disgusting?
I got some dust on it. Sure. I mean, who's doesn't? It's used. I use my computer. I work on it. Sorry, Hank.
You're good.
I did you a favor because I didn't want people harassing you, asking you when the show was going to come out tonight, because that's something that I know really gets under your skin. So I told them, do not harass you specifically, and instead ask Jake, your boss, when the show is coming out. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that to get any thanks from you, nor do I expect any. Good. But I just want to say I was looking out for you and maybe put some respect on my computer screen.
I will not.
Okay.
I'll do no such thing.
Hank, if I could boop you like a dog, I would.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I could use it. I could really use it right now.
Boop.
Yeah.
Jake boop, boop him.
No.
Jake, boop him. Yeah, Hank just said that he could
give
use
him
a boop.
Quick boop. Just a quick
just
boop.
Just a quick boop.
Fist bump.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. Oh.
He gave me a finger that's better than what he gave me in there when I was trying to help him up.
All right. PFT, what's yours?
My Firefest of the Week is that Tom Brady leadership the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Tom Brady turned me into a Tom Brady believer yesterday.
Yeah.
So I made a cheap joke about him losing money in Bitcoin, and it was
cheap joke.
What?
It was a really cheap joke.
I just said it was.
I know. I just.
Okay. Just
reiterated.
Do you want to do my Firefest thing?
It was.
Do you want me to?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Tom
I made
Brady,
a really, really, really bad joke.
I did.
Usual.
I did. Oh wow, Hank, you're not allowed to say that.
I thought you wanted me to do your Firefest.
No, you're not allowed to say that because Tom Brady is the only one who's allowed to judge my jokes anymore. So I made.
I want to get out of this room so bad right now.
I made a bad joke, and Tom Brady said that. SMH, I've seen better from UPFT. Over here, we just buy the dip. And at first, I was like a little offended by it. But then I was like, wait a second. Tom Brady just said that he's seen better from me.
Mm-hmm.
So he expects more out of me. Mm-hmm. And then I started to expect more out of myself because Tom Brady, the legend, sees more in me than I do in myself.
Right.
And I realized I am basically Julian Edelman right now.
Yeah.
Like he just leadership the hell out of
me. He got you.
And
got you going.
Now Tom Brady is my leader.
Correct.
He's a winner.
Yeah. You're ready to go.
I'm ready to roll.
Ready to suit up for the Bucs.
I'm ready to roll.
Ready to roll.
Ready to roll. Sorry, Hank.
You're good.
Sorry that you're
good
feeling.
Firefest.
Sorry that you're lashing out at me.
Not at all.
Sorry that Tom Brady's never interacted with you on Twitter, even though you went to jail for him.
That's not true. I think he thanks us every year. He did a few days ago on the anniversary.
did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll just look it up on his Twitter account. Should be there, no problem.
I think it was an Instagram comment, if you really want to get into the nitty gritty.
Are you one of his high school friends or one of his college friends when he says it's like having
high school?
Okay. No, it's not online.
I think you're family.
Who knows?
All right, my Firefest is pretty simple. I realized this week, because it's nice, it's getting warmer, I'm starting to get...
Oh, that's the other thing. I'm fat. I'm skinny and I'm fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So riddle me that.
What?
Riddle me that.
Fat. How are you skinny fat?
I don't think you're fat.
Oh, no, it's...
Let me see your stomach.
I'll show you offline.
We have to, like, Hank, you need to get a room that, like, blocks all of our cell phones so no one can take pictures and no one can send anything, and just we'll do it there.
Well, Hank's lashing out at people online. He's saying how much money Quiggs would have in his account if he didn't sell his Dogecoin.
Hank, how is that a lash out?
You're just mad, Hank.
I'm just stating
Hank,
facts.
It's okay to be mad.
Oh, wait, he sold his Dogecoin?
Hank, it's okay to be mad.
Oh, I thought that's how much money he had.
Let it out.
I didn't realize he sold it.
Let it all out, Hank.
Any of that money.
Hank, you just want to roast us for the rest of the show?
No. I think you guys are doing great.
Thanks, Hank. All right, my Firefest is I need to up my grill game. I suck at grilling. I realize that. Sucks. As a guy, as a dad, you gotta be better at grilling. I'm not bad. I'm just not, like, all the way there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm the guy who can cook a steak well, but, like, if you give
medium
me...
Medium plus.
Yeah, medium rare plus. But if you give me chicken, I get nervous that I'm undercook it, so I overcook it every time.
Yeah, chicken's a tricky little bird.
I hate
a nervous
it.
Bird.
Yeah, right. So I need to up my grill game. So anyone who's got tips for me... like, what do I got to buy? What do I got to do? I don't know. Whatever. Just give me some tips.
Start easy. Start with hamburgers.
No, I know how to cook them. I'm saying, like, I want to up my game. I want to become, like, holy shit, how'd he cook that on the grill? That
next
was incredible.
Level?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I need someone to tell me how to, like, really up my game.
Here's what you do. It's, a little hack. You cook it in the oven. So I assume you can, like, set a temperature, roast it for a little bit. If it's like a steak,
yeah.
Or if it's like a nice piece of meat.
I don't want, this sounds too much.
No, it's easy. You just cook it in there. Then you take it out to the grill, and the grill's hot as shit, and you just put it on each side for a little bit.
Yeah, but
you
I don't want
it in, and then you tell people it's grilled.
But then, oh, okay.
And then you're all like, right. See, look at this. And
yeah,
it's got the grill marks.
Yeah, sous vide,
nice
and then,
little,
yeah.
Nice crust on the outside.
I don't know. I'm just open to any, I know barbecue Twitter is a terrible place to be, but I am coming to you and saying, please help, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to become the guy who can really, like, be proud of his grilling. Jake.
I can't get this certain Peter Griffin laugh out of my head.
What is it?
How? Peter! Oh, God, sorry.
That's been stuck in my head. I've been humming it all week.
So your Firefest is that you're too happy.
Yeah, that's
been when something's stuck in your head.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I walk around with Elmo's
Yeah.
Playing in my head all the time.
And Bluey, right?
Yeah, but Elmo's the worst.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, that sounds like a pretty good week.
No, I mean,
pretty bad.
All right, let's send everyone on their way.
Bad too, it sounds like.
18.
Give me
99.
8 again.
Andres Karolinko.
What's that?
47.
Hank, please get this.
73.
Watch be 18.
9. Looks like 9.
Is that 8? Is that 8?
9. Looks like a 9.
Does not qualify. Does not qualify.
Was going to be a 6. Did not get sucked up. Was going to be a 6.
Forty-six.
A one-off. Come on.
Just like in Play Barstool today. That's your extra point.
That's not right.
$500.
That's not right.
46, first timer.
Oh.
Do you want
you said 47, Hank?
Animal slash journalism or no?
The worst part is that I have been doing in order, just counting up.
Uh-huh.
You forgot?
And I don't know if I did 46 or 45 last time.
Hank. Oh, man.
Animal or journalism?
Let's do animal.
Let Hank pick.
Hank, animal or journalism?
Let's just end the show.
Okay, guys. I'll save you Monday.
Yeah. Love you guys.
I've heard enough of Jake today. For you, I could soon be done really easily. From when you were only a couple weeks. Remember when you said that you wanted to give me the world. For you, I guess that you've been working on yourself. I guess the therapist I found for you should really help. And you can be a better man for your brand new girl. Well, good for you, you look happy and healthy. Not me, if you ever care to ask. Good for getting everything you want. You bought a new car and your career's really taking off. It's like you never even happened, baby. What the fuck is up with that? And good for you, it's like you never even met me. Remember when you swore to God I was the only person who ever got you? Well, screw that. Screw you. You will never have to hurt the way you know that I do. Well, good for you, you look happy, healthy, not me. If you ever scared to ask. Good for you, you're doing great up there without me, baby. God, I wish that I could do that. Maybe I'm too emotional. Your apathy is like a wounded soul. Maybe I'm too emotional. Maybe you never.